Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. And we pray, Father, specifically that right now you would fill my mouth with what you want each one that is listening and will watch this at a different point to hear, that you would speak to each heart. You would tailor make my words to impact their hearts and their lives. So, Father, we thank you for this evening, and that all the glory goes to you. We thank you, Lord, for our hearts being able to be quieted and connecting deeper and deeper with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So on that note, as it was in the soaking email, as well as mine just shared with you, it was really interesting because Rick was getting ready to send out the email about the soaking. And he said, "So what are you going to talk about?" And I thought, he had done the last one, and so it was my turn, and so I'm sitting there. And out of my mouth came quieting and connecting with God. And I thought, that's interesting, because that wasn't something I was sitting there pondering. Now, he has been teaching me a lot about quieting. Rick, there are papers over there that I want you to send out to everybody. But they're just some of the scripture verses that I will use tonight, maybe some that won't even get used, depending on how this comes out. But it has some resources at the bottom. I have a friend named Pat who literally has impacted me a lot because she's talking about a lot of the brain science that's out, and it's all connected with a very amazing group of people. And you'll see the websites to a couple of them there called Thrive Today and Joy Starts Here. And if you go and check out some of the articles that I have highlighted there for you, you will find they're talking about the fact there are 19 relational brain skills that we all need to have, but most of us never got growing up. And so one of those is quieting. And it's one of the ones we're supposed to get. Well, we're supposed to have all of them by 3.5 years of age. Well, let's face it, there are no perfect parents and there are no totally functional homes, so you can't give away what you haven't had. And so as a result, we're lacking in many areas of what we really need. And Father's been showing me very strongly how much my inability to quiet ends up causing it to be difficult for me to connect with him. And I am suddenly aware of it more now than ever in my entire life. And so as I put this together, he said, "Yes, you could talk about relationships with other people, but tonight this is quieting your hearts, your soul, your body. Ultimately, it starts with your body and then your soul and your heart so that you can connect with him." And so I just really, really am passionate about this because it's making a big impression on me. Now, believe me, I'm the one that needs to practice this as much as anybody that's sitting here listening. It is about me. It's not just about everybody else. But I know that it's becoming a very tangible thing for me to have some specific ways to do that so that the things of this world don't try and disconnect me from him. The word connect, when I went to look it up, means to knit or link together, to join or unite, to have a very close relationship to. How much do our hearts yearn to connect with him? And yet most of us may not have an easy time doing that. And that's not something you need to feel badly about, but it's just the fact that if you didn't get those skills of having strong connectedness between parents and children or other people, then it's very difficult to know how to connect with God. And we're meant to have that joy. Because what happens when you're connected with people, especially a mother and her child? When that baby looks into that mother's eyes, they just go, "Oh," and they get a big smile on their face, and they're just so excited, you know, because they know somebody's glad to be with them. And it brings them great joy. But we'll talk more about that later, but I just want you to realize is that when we are enjoying that relationship with Father, it allows us to not only feel connected, but to feel that joy and to feel safe and to feel secure and to realize we were made for relationships. And our society today is struggling to know how to have relationships at all. Vertically and horizontally, we don't know how to have healthy relationships. So this starts by you connecting first to him vertically, and then I'll believe that your ability to connect to others is increased too. Jeremiah 24:7 says, "Then I will give them a heart to know me
that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart. Now, my friend Pat, that impacted me, talks about until our heart is fully healed, we can't love him with our whole heart. And so the ability to get quiet so he can continue to do that work and make it a whole heart, a big deal. But the word know there, to know me, he wants every one of us to know him. And I know all of you sitting here do know him. And those of you on the internet that may watch this at some point in time, I pray that you know him as well. But the word in Hebrew there for know is yada, which means to experience with your heart, seeing and feeling all that he is. It's not an intellectual thing. He's not a concept. And there are a lot of people sitting in churches today that only know God more as a concept. They agree that God loves them, but they've not experienced it. And that means that their heart has not had that connection. And that's what I'm talking about tonight. In John 17:3, Jesus said, he prayed, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. To know there is, again, it's an experiential word. It's gnosko in Greek, and it means to perceive, to feel, to speak with, and to have a personal, intimate knowing. It's not a surface conversation. Yeah, we all can say we know the president. We know his name. We know this, that, or the other. We know certain people. But we've not personally met them. We don't know their hearts. We haven't interacted with them. And therefore, that's the kind of knowing that our Heavenly Father really wants us to have. In verse 23 of John 17 there, Jesus went on to say that they may be perfect in one. That's that being knit together. That oneness. That the world may know. So it's only as we experience that the world's going to experience and know that you sent me and have loved them as you love me. Now that's one of those verses that all of us can read and it just almost goes dong, dong. Is it really registering anywhere in my heart, in my head, anywhere, that God loves us as much as he loves Jesus? You know, that's something we have to experience for ourselves. Otherwise, it's just words. And that's what many of us have lived with for years. I know I did. I grew up in the church, and I could quote all the verses, but it was not a reality in my heart. What happens to your heart when you know that someone's glad to be with you? It brings joy. It brings you a sense of belonging. It feels safe and secure, and it gives you that good all as well. Everything feels peaceful and calm and good. He took me to Colossians 2:2 this evening, as I was going back over my notes. And he said in Colossians 2:2, it speaks of your hearts being knit together in love. I believe that the more love we experience, the more oneness with him we'll experience. But in the Message Bible, it was really interesting. He says, I want you to read it. I want you woven into a tapestry of love, in touch with everything there is to know of God. And then you'll have minds confident and at rest, focused on Christ. I believe the big thing we're talking about is the more we know him, the more we will come to a place of confidence in who he is, and that will cause us to be at rest, and as we are focused totally on him and not ourselves, not on the world, not somewhere else. It makes a huge difference where our focus is, and he wants us to be connected to him and not just this world. As I just said, the world is a very difficult place to live in, especially these days. It is full of all sorts of stuff going on that is less than peaceful. And it is surely full of people that are not peaceful. And therefore, the ability to connect to others may be limited in certain times. We can't look to other people's, I guess is what I'm saying to you, to meet our need for quieting. Yes, we can hopefully have a person that can help us quiet in our lives. But it is also where I want you to put your eyes on Father tonight and let him be the one you connect with. I talked about how we all grew up in dysfunctional families and things like that. But the word quiet, okay, the definition of quiet is being in a state of rest, being still, freedom from disturbance or alarm, peace, and security. All of us, I think, long for that. How many of us like to be in a peaceful place, quiet place? Lots of people don't know how to be quiet is what I'm aware of in this world. They don't know, or they don't want to. They want to be busy, so they really don't look within. But quiet as a verb means to calm or pacify, quiet pain or grief, to quiet the soul when agitated. All of us have been where we get all stirred up. I mean, have you ever seen water when it's stirred up? If it had some dirt in the bottom and then you stir it up, oh, it looks really cloudy. Well, that's the way all of us can get. We can be all stirred up about things without too much difficulty with that happening. But quieting is to reduce to rest or stillness. The actual skill of quieting, the reason I said quieting rather than quiet or quietness, is the fact that it's something we need to actively practice. Okay, it's not something that you do passively. It's something you actually practice. And it's meant to be something that he's really been teaching me this. He's teaching me to quiet myself, to soothe myself, calm myself, when life starts to overwhelm me, whether I'm really, really super excited about something good or whether I'm really, really upset about something that's really been difficult. And he's showing me that only when I quiet myself can I sense his presence and I can be really feeling connected and also be open to hearing what the Spirit of God may be saying or what he's trying to tell me. Because what happens to us? If we're not aware of his presence, if we're not aware of Father being there for us, we try to do life on our own. And that's being an orphan. We've stopped being a son or a daughter. We have started thinking we're responsible. We have to be the source and we've got to come up with the solutions. And I lived that way for years until I got to recognizing there's more and more of a desire in my heart to literally let him be a father to me, to father me, to teach me every little nuance of what it means to live as his daughter. I'm not going to read them, but Isaiah 32:17 says, the effect of righteousness is peace. And it even goes on to talk about, that, I think in verse 18, about it will end up with quiet dwelling places. The more we realize that we are right with him and we're not wrong, we have the righteousness of God in Christ. When we are in Christ, we are righteous. He's not upset with us. Jesus took care of all the mess. And so we're right. But all too often we feel wrong. And so I'm just getting you to recognize that we'll be at peace when we know that we feel right with him. The other verse is one that he's been having me on for about 3 years now. Isaiah 30:15 says, in returning in rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Well, guess what? Quietness is the result of returning to him and letting him be the one that takes care of us. When we really know him, it makes a huge difference. When we think about this, though, quieting has to start on the outside and get to the inside. Okay? If you are running around like the busy bee that I used to be, I don't have my glass or my busy bee with me right now, but I used to be busy bee, and I was constantly in motion, I was performance oriented, and I didn't know how to rest or be quiet at all. I'm sure lots of people were overwhelmed by me years ago. Still can be probably, but I've calmed down a lot compared to where I used to be. So he told me one day, he said, Sue, do you realize it's very difficult to fill you if you're never still? And so he's helped me recognize that first you have to quiet your body on the outside. And that's a big deal, because most of us have never learned how to do that. And yet, how many of you have quieted yourself? You've sat down, you've gotten quiet, nothing's on in the house, and yet you're sitting down, and yet on the inside, your head is going, thoughts are racing, images of what has to be done, and where you have to go, and what has to happen next, and blah, blah, blah. I mean, we can run ourselves into the ground, even though we're sitting and our body's quiet. We may not be quiet on the inside at all. Our soul and our heart are full of activity. So I want you to recognize he is peace. He is the Prince of Peace. It's not something he has. It's who he is. And so we need to tap into him being our Prince of Peace, the one who wants to help us quiet. And you recognize that while we can help quiet ourselves, the end result of that total rest and peace comes when we recognize our efforts won't make the difference. It's only him that he wants to give himself to us so that we can have his peace. Really, I'm pausing because he just really emphasized, he said, I want you to really emphasize this. Do you think Jesus is really upset about any of the things that are upsetting you? I mean, one day he just told me, do you think that really caught me off guard, Sue?
Oh my goodness.
Oh, I knew that was going to happen. So you think I don't have a way to solve that for you? That one just really cut me off short. I'm sitting there, okay, guess I don't have a reason to be concerned here. Even though it was not automatic for me to think that way, I began to realize that it's a really important thing to see things from his perspective. Oh my gosh, I didn't know Sue was going to do that. Oh my goodness, what are we going to do now? I mean, Jesus is not up there in heaven getting upset about what Sue did today. He knows he's already taken care of all of that through his sacrifice on the cross. But you recognize that most of the agitation and anxiety that we end up living in is out of fear of something bad happening or something going the wrong way. Every form of anxiety leads to that agitation and unsettledness. Our world is full of it. And that distracts us. Our minds are racing. We're lost in all sorts of our own thoughts. And every thought has an image. So what images are going through your heart right now that are upsetting you? That usually is what's causing you to disconnect from him and be overwhelmed by circumstances. Father wants us to be more aware of him than we are of anything else. Mm-hmm. And that's because he's ready there to help us. He loves being with us, and he knows that we may not have gotten what we needed growing up, so he wants to help us learn to quiet ourselves. Isaiah 26:3 is a very interesting verse, and it says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Okay, the word mind there is not really mind. It's yetzar in Hebrew. Yetzar means imagination, image maker. When your image maker is stayed on him and seeing only images of him and his kingdom, that is when you will be at peace. If your image maker is full of outward images that are overwhelming you, that really can be upsetting. And that's what he wants us to recognize, that we need to keep looking to him to be aware of his presence and live knowing that we belong to him and not allow other things to be bigger. Okay, so if you think about that, then we are talking about how often we can be overwhelmed with the wrong images. We can be overwhelmed with what's going on around us and allow fear in. We can allow all the negative images in our heart. And what does that do? It stirs us up. We can never calm down. So tonight we're going to have a prop. Okay, this baby doll is exactly what our Father wants to do for us. And I'm going to read from a couple of verses. Yes, I know. You look nice. You look calm right now. But he wants to do the same thing for us. And Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." He doesn't want us to feel that we've got to do this by ourselves. And so when a mother holds a baby, what she is doing is allowing that baby, if the baby's upset, if something happened, if he had a gas pain, if he just woke up and wasn't feeling good, she's going to put him close so that you can look into each other's eyes. "Yes, I'm so glad to be with you. You're going to be okay. You really are. It's going to be all right." You see, that's what soothing is all about. That's what we're meant to be. You know, a baby can only handle so much joy. They look directly at your eyes and they drink in the love that's coming out of your eyes. And you know what? When they can't handle anymore, then they look away because they got to calm down. They've got to quiet. Otherwise, they'll be overwhelmed. And then they look back and they want more. Well, that's what our Father says he wants to do for us. And in Psalm 131, it's one of my favorite psalms. And the first verse talks about, "My heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty, neither do I concern myself with great matters or things too profound for me." In other words, not going to get overwhelmed by the things of this world. "And instead, surely I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me." In the Message, it says, "I've kept my feet on the ground. I've cultivated a quiet heart. like a baby content in his mother's arms. When we're overwhelmed and we're not quiet, it means that something has unsettled us and we're anxious, we're fearful, we're upset. And you know what? When you quiet, that's when the love is being poured in and the ability for that mother to just comfort that child, to let them know she's not going to leave them. Our Heavenly Father says the same thing. He says in Deuteronomy 31:6, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear or be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." Now, that's Old Testament. Same words that we hear from Jesus in Hebrews 13:5, that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. You see, we have the same Father who wants to be there for us all the time. Nothing is bigger than him. So he wants us to turn our focus to him, to really let him help us get quiet. The situations, as I said, didn't catch him by surprise. So it's time to let him be the one that helps us quiet. Now I'm going to put my little guy here down for a minute. But I want you to begin to think about the fact that there are some real specific ways that you can quiet. And this is the practical thing. It's that cycle, as I said, of joy and rest. The joy and the quiet. That's what we were meant to get. And most of us, though, grew up not having that opportunity. Okay, I just demonstrated that to you. But if we recognize that there are specific things we can do to help our physical bodies get quiet, that's what one of those is, a YouTube link. And I will attempt to put these up on a posting on our website for those of you that are online. But there's a YouTube link by Jim Wilder who talks about ways you can quiet your body. And let me tell you, I have used them. I used them just 2 days ago when I had a meltdown. Yes, Sue had a wonderful prayer session on Thursday, had a major issue that happened for her on Friday, and she didn't handle it with all the grace that she could have, but guess what? She didn't beat up on herself for a long time either. That was a big deal. And I used some of these things to quiet. When we've had people even in for prayer, you need to take deep breaths, because when you get agitated, you only take shallow breaths. Instead, you need to breathe in through your nose as deep as you can. Your stomach will sort of extend, and then breathe out through your mouth. And if you can do that 10 times, it's amazing how that will quiet you. It's amazing how it will calm things down. Now, Jim Wilder goes on and he talks about how if you yawn, turn to the left and yawn. And then he says, whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in the Lord. Whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in the Lord. These are really physical ways to calm your body. If you watch the 6-minute clip on YouTube, it talks about how we can just say, if we tap our chest right about here, whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in the Lord, and you just put a circle. I have found that to be impressive at how quickly that will calm me down. So those are just some really very practical ways to calm down your physical body. The reason you're doing that to calm down your body is because parts of your brain is shut down. The parts that would normally quiet you have shut down. And you've got to do something to help stimulate you, get out of that fight, flight, or freeze or mode. Then you need to learn how to quiet your soul and your heart. This means taking some time to ask yourself, what are you upset about? Then next, telling him how it feels and asking him to show you where he sees you were hurt most, places where you may still need to deal with some stuff in your heart. And finally, to see he's with you in the situation. And by seeing that he's there, then you can let him quiet you and ask him to help you begin to see the situation the way he does. That's what we are meant to do with him. We were meant to do the very same thing that a mother does with a baby. We are meant to look into our Heavenly Father's eyes and have him quiet us. He's really having me focus on looking into his eyes and quieting when I get upset or overwhelmed. Hebrews 12:2 says, we are to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Getting our eyes off of self and onto him is a really good way to quiet. 2 Corinthians 3:18 talks about that we are behold him in a mirror, face to face. The veil's been removed. And as we behold him, we are changed from glory to glory. When are we going to get our eyes off of ourselves and allow him to be the one we're looking at? Even though our mothers couldn't give what they didn't have, my mother could not quiet, so I never learned to quiet. Right? But he is the one I need to get his brain downloaded into me now. So I'm Father looking into my eyes as a babe, as a child, and I need to have recognize Father's not agitated, he's not upset, so I don't need to be. That's what I want to leave you with tonight, that each one of us just needs to practice more and more how to quiet. There are some great articles on quieting, how much it can impact your families, your homes, ways to help that, because quieting is something you practice. It's not something that just happens. And so I just want to leave you with that your Father is ready to look into your eyes. He's ready to quiet you, no matter what you're facing today, no matter what may happen tomorrow, no matter how goofed up and wild and wacky the world gets, he's not upset, and he's going to help quiet you. So I bless you each to have a great adventure allowing him to help you learn to quiet.